everything that is continued to be said and done. May it all bring glory and honor to your name, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Those kids can stay right up there. They won't bother me a bit if they want to. Well, my voice is about 80% back, and so I'm going to do the best that I can today. This has been an incredible experience for me to have my voice silent and really talk in a different... I had different sounds coming out of me all week. It was pretty incredible, but God bless you today, and I'm so glad to see every one of you. I want to read this scripture from Matthew 1:22. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, that the virgin would be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. There is a yearning inside every person to know God. From the very beginning, there was imparted something in us that wants to know our Creator, to know that God has not only come to the world, but that He's broken through into our world. And it's not just enough to know that God is up there or He's out there. We want to know that God has come to where we are, that He knows where we live, that He knows our name, and that He cares about us and our families. We want to know that we are not alone in this world. All the prophets spoke of it, Joel and Malachi, Hosea, Jeremiah, Daniel, Zechariah, but no one spoke as eloquently as the prophet Isaiah did 700 years before Christ comes. He says this in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, "Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," God with us. And all of the names of Jesus, perhaps none of them have the significance that Emmanuel does, because it gives us His ultimate identity for you and I, for personal. He is God who came down from heaven. He is God who wrapped Himself in human flesh. The Bible says in John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The Bible says in John 1:14, "And the Word became flesh." The same Word that was God, that came to be with us, He became flesh and He dwelled among us, and we beheld the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God did not send Christ to us. God came to you and I in Christ. Jesus Christ, He is God in the flesh. So important for you to know this. Isaiah 44:6 says, "Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and the Redeemer, the Lord of hosts." He says, "I am the first and the last. Besides me, there is no other God." And John 1:18 says, "No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is Himself God, and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made Him known." John 10:30 says, "I and the Father are one." Colossians 2:9-10 says, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over all power and all authority." And then in Revelation 1:17-18 it says, "And when I saw Him, I fell at His feet as dead. But He laid His right hand on me, saying to me, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am He who lives and was dead. And thank God, behold, He is alive forevermore.'" Come on, can you say amen to that? And He says, "And I have the keys of hell and of death." This child, the baby that we remember this weekend, is none other than God Himself, who is not only living among us, but He is Christ living inside of us. And so who is this Emmanuel? Who is this one? Well, first of all, He is God with us as Son. He is Jesus Christ. He is God with us. He didn't make His debut first at Christmas morning in Bethlehem, because the Bible says He existed before creation in the beginning. In fact, John 1:3 says, "Through Him all things were made." Even when we look back in Genesis, we read in Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image. Jesus was then, he is, as I just read from John chapter 1, he is the Word was in the beginning. He is God. He was God. He is to come God. He walked among us in flesh and bones, and yet he was perfectly divinity. The Bible says that he was hungry when he was fully human, but when he was fully divine, that he fed 5,000 people. The Bible says that Jesus would become thirsty, but when he was fully divine, he could walk on the very water that he created. Oh, thank God for that. He is God who is the Son who lives with us. He is God our shepherd. This word that describes Emmanuel says that he is our shepherd that we need when trouble comes our way. And ironically, trouble seems to come and manifest itself more than ever sometimes at Christmas time. This could be some of the loneliest moments for people of the year. In the midst of laughter, there is pain, there's sadness, there's grief, there's reminders of broken relationships. Some family reunions are like war zones. I was talking to an individual yesterday, and they said, I've got to be at this end of the house because if I go where the other people are, I'm going to be crazy. Somebody else can say amen to that this morning. Nobody will tell. People feel exhausted. A pressure to find money to buy presents and to try to make the people that they love happy and give them things that they don't necessarily want or need with money that maybe they don't have. And can I say it even more forcefully? Jesus knows what others do not know even about you this morning. He knows all the hidden things. He knows the fears. He knows the unspoken doubts. He knows what tomorrow may bring. He knows the whole truth about you and I. Yet, listen to me, he still loves you. Isn't that beautiful? So I want to ask you today, what are you fearing today? What loved one maybe is suffering? Someone, or maybe you have received a poor health report. Maybe it's in your marriage. Maybe it's children in your family that are in trouble. Maybe it's a financial obstacle you can't seem to get around. That whatever you are walking through today, Jesus wants you to know he is with you. He is a shepherd to you. You are not lost. You are not forgotten. You're not just somebody else walking on the street. You are an individual that he has got his eye on today. You are special. You are called. You are appointed. You are anointed. You are gifted. You are blessed. You have favor on your life. You have been born again by the love and the power of Jesus Christ himself. And when I think about the word shepherd, I'm reminded of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, David said. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil so that my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want to tell somebody today that you don't have to go on the journey that you're on alone. That he is a shepherd. That he is with you. That he is for you. And at the saddest moments in our lives that we can call on him, and that he will come to us on the darkest days that we have ever walked through, he is there with you and I. And then I want to tell you, he is our Savior. He is God. He is our Savior. The angel told Joseph to name her baby Jesus, because the Bible says in Matthew 1:21, I read it earlier, he will save his people from their sins. What does that mean? In the world that we live in, that phrase seems to be kind of harsh. That phrase seems to be difficult for some to recognize, to look at. I heard a great story yesterday that somebody told. They said about it this way. Just suppose, you know, Patty and I, if we went away on our 40th, we had a great time. Suppose that somebody said to you that you were going to go maybe with your husband or your wife or your best friend. They were going to send you on a trip. You could leave the kids at home. Somebody would take care of them. You go away and you go to the nicest place. And when you got there, you found out that it was nicer than you even thought it was. And you were excited about it. And you were relaxing. Maybe for some of you that would be on a nice beach somewhere with the warm water coming up around your toes and the sand so hot that you had to move quick because it would burn the bottoms of your feet. Maybe for some of you it would be in a ski slope somewhere skiing. I don't know who you would be, but praise the Lord for you anyways. But you're at a place that's beautiful, it's wonderful, and you're there with your spouse or with somebody that you love, and all of a sudden you get a call and you find out that one of your kids is in trouble. Can I tell you something? It wouldn't matter how beautiful the hotel is, how beautiful the place where you're at is. You're going to do everything that you can to leave where you're at, to go and rescue and help your child. And that's exactly what Jesus did when he was in heaven. The Bible says that God the Father looked down upon the earth and saw the people, the humanity that he created, that he breathed life in, that they were failing and that they were in pain, that they were in hurting condition, that they were making choices that would devastate them and be harmful for their future. And he left his lofty place in heaven, in the beautiful place of eternity. And he sent his son. He came in the flesh of Jesus Christ to earth. He left where he was to come where you and I are, to help us, to save us, to rescue us, and to make our lives better. The Bible says that because he loved us so much, he came to save his people from their sins. Come on, are you living and believing that in your life today? You will never understand who Jesus is until you know that he has come to save you from your sin. You will never know who this Jesus is. You will never know the totality of what Christmas is about until you know that he is the one that came. He came to seek and to save, the Bible says, that which was lost. You've all heard this little acronym before. If our greatest need had been education, he would have sent a teacher. If our greatest need would have been money, he would have sent a banker. If our greatest need would have been advice, he would have sent a counselor. If our greatest need had been pleasure, he would have sent an entertainer. But he knew what our greatest need was. He knew that we were waffling at our best. He knew that at our best we could not be who he has created and called us to be. Therefore, he came in the flesh, into the world, into this life that we live, and brought to us eternal life through his son Jesus Christ, being born, living, dying, and living again, so that you and I can have that same eternal life forever and forever. And that's what Christmas is about to you and I today. Come on today. If you're lonely, if you're hurting today, he is here for you. You don't necessarily need a better job. You don't need more friends. You don't need another Christmas movie to watch. God's answer to loneliness is wrapped up in a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother to you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. I feel in my heart, I feel a tug onto somebody's life today. You feel lonely, you feel alone, you feel in pain, you feel hurting. I want to tell you here, I came to tell you this morning that your loneliness can be overcome when you have that relationship with Jesus Christ. And all I can say, everything, all that God has for you and I is wrapped in his son, Jesus Christ. I want to pray for you this morning. I want to believe God for something great for you. Not just today and tomorrow as we celebrate Christmas. Not just that. I want to pray that God will launch you into your future. greater and better than you had ever thought He could. That 2018 will be beyond anything you could imagine. Maybe you're here today and you're dealing with something in your life. I put a prayer request up on Facebook last night. I do that often. I just felt so compelled. I had such an incredible day yesterday. I was praying for people, and I had this second cousin of mine. I haven't seen him in 40 years. He sent me a message. Please pray for me. I'm in the hospital. I'm not doing well. I don't know if I'm going to make it. I said, I'm going to come and see you, but I'm going to pray for you. I've heard news this week of cancer, of divorce. I did a funeral for a man this week. He and his wife were married 76 years. And as I looked at that sweet little lady sitting on the front row in that funeral home, and I felt the Lord tell me. My wife said, oh, honey, it's so sad that he couldn't have made it through Christmas. And I was praying, and that morning I felt the Lord tell me to tell them, God is Emmanuel. Yes, your husband went home before Christmas, but remember, and beautiful Margaret Perry prayed for them. Margaret, are you here today? Margaret, are you here? Where are you? Stand up back there. She prayed for this couple 3 weeks ago, and they gave their lives to Jesus Christ. Thank you, dear. That He is Emmanuel, and that you'll never forget from now and in eternity that God, He is with us. Bow your head with me. Close your eyes this morning. Lord, you didn't forget us. You didn't leave us alone. We thank you for remembering us and coming to save us through Jesus Christ, the Lord. You clothed their son with human flesh so he might be our Savior. You filled us with joy this Christmas season because if God be for us and with us, who can and what could ever be against us? And for that, I give you thanks, Lord. I pray maybe one today, just your eyes are closed, your heads are bowed. I don't want anyone moving here right now. You've never given your life to Jesus. You should do that today. This would be the greatest Christmas gift that you could ever have. And I could read a letter from you maybe a year from now or 5 years or 10 years from now. No one looking around, your eyes are closed. If you've never given your life to Jesus, would you just put up your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not going to ask. I don't want nothing from you. I just want to pray for you. Just put your hand up. I want to pray for you this morning. Anyone? Thank you. Father, I just thank you today. I want the prayer people to come down to the altar, if you would. I thank you today for the honesty of those who responded right at that moment. I pray, God, for your life and your love to be in every heart and in every life here today. I pray, God, that you will lift up those who are down. You will encourage the broken. You will put together things that seem out of place. And you will be Emmanuel to every single life that is here. I give you thanks and praise for that today in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Boy, I sure love